Kepler and Lowell came back to the squad room. They distributed memos, still hot and curled from the photocopier, one into every in-tray, and then they slouched out again. Peterson said, "That's their day's work done, right there. Now comes a 5-hour lunch break, probably." What a waste. What did they do? "I can't talk about it." "That bad?" "No, not really." "So what was it?" "I can't talk about it." "Yes, you can." Okay, 3 days ago they were out of radio contact for an hour. Wouldn't say why or how or what they were doing. We can't allow that because of the prison plan. The phone rang again at 10:20. Reacher picked it up and said, "Yes?" A woman's voice asked,
"Major Reacher?"
"Yes?"
"Do you know who I am?"
"Keep talking."
"You taught a class in your last year in the service."
"Did I?"
"About integrating military and federal investigations. I took the class. Don't you recognize my voice?"
"Keep talking."
"What do you want me to say?"
Right then, Reacher wanted her to say plenty, because she had a great voice. It was warm, slightly husky, a little breathy, a little intimate. He liked the way it whispered in his ear. He liked it a lot. In his mind, he pictured its owner as blonde, not more than 35 years old, not less than 30. Probably tall, probably a looker. Altogether, a terrific voice, for sure. But not a voice he recognized, and he said so. The voice said,
"I'm very disappointed, maybe even a little hurt. Are you sure you don't remember me?"
"I need to speak to your CEO.
"That will have to wait. I can't believe you don't know who I am."
"Can I take a guess?"
"Go ahead."
"I think you're some kind of a bullshit filter. I think your CEO wants to know if I'm for real. If I say I remember you, I fail the test. Because I don't. We never met. Maybe I wish we had, but we didn't."
"But I took your class."
"You didn't. You read my file, that's all. The course title was for public consumption only. The class was about screwing the feds, not cooperating with them. If you had been in the room with me, you'd know that."
"Good work."
A smile in the voice.
"You just passed the test."
"So who are you, really?"
"I'm you."
"What does that mean?"
"I'm CEO of the 110th Special Unit."
"Really?"
"Really and truly."
"Outstanding. Congratulations, how is it?"
"I'm sure you can imagine. I'm sitting at your old desk right now, both metaphorically and literally. Do you remember your desk?"
"I had a lot of desks."
"Here at Rock Creek."
Actually, Reacher remembered it pretty well. An old-style government desk, made of steel, painted green, the finish on the edges already worn back to bright metal by the time he inherited it. The voice said,
"There's a big dent on the right-hand side. People say you made it. With someone's head."
"People say?"
"Like a folk legend. Is it true?"
"I think the movers did it."
"It's perfectly concave."
"Maybe they dropped the bowling ball."
"I prefer the legend."
Reacher asked, "What's your name?" The boy said,
"Make one up for me."
"What?"
"Let's keep this off the record. Give me a code name."
"This is a private conversation."
"Not really. Our system shows you're calling from a police station. I'm sure it has a switchboard and recording devices."
Reacher said, "Okay, keep talking. I should try to make the name fit the person."
"What do you want me to say?"
"Read the phone book. That'd work for me." Another smile in the voice.
"People say the dent in the desk came from a colonel's head. They say that's why you got canned from the 110th. I didn't get canned. I got new orders, that's all.
Only because no one liked that particular colonel. But you definitely walked the plank. That's what people say.
Amanda.
Amanda? Okay, that's who I am. You need me again, call the number and ask for Amanda. Now, what can I do for you today?
There's a small town in South Dakota called Bolton, roughly in the middle of the state, 12 or 13 miles north of I-90.
I know where it is. Our system includes your coordinates. I'm looking at Bolton right now.
Looking at it, huh?
On my laptop, with Google Earth.
You guys have it easy.
Technology is indeed a wonderful thing. How can I help you?
5 miles west of town is an abandoned Cold War installation. I need to know what it was.
Can't you tell what it was?
I haven't seen it, and apparently there isn't much to see. It could be nothing, but I want you to check it out for me.
You sure it isn't a missile silo? The Dakotas are full of them.
They say it isn't a silo. Doesn't sound like one either.
Okay, hold on. I'm zooming and scrolling. According to the most recent image, the only thing west of town looks like a prison camp. 15 huts and an older building in 2 lines of 8, plus a long straight road, maybe 2 miles of it.
Does the older building look like a house?
From above, it looks exactly like a house.
Okay, but I need more than that.
You want me to come all the way up to South Dakota and go out there and look at it with you?
Since I'm stuck here in a snowstorm with nothing much else to do, that would be great. But a records check will do it. It'll show up somewhere. I need to know its purpose, its scope, and its architecture.
Call me back at close of business.
Then there was a click, and the voice was gone. 5 to 10 in the morning. 42 hours to go. Chapter 12. The lawyer parked his car in his office lot and put on his overshoes. He took them off again inside his building's lobby and placed them in a plastic grocery bag and carried the bag with his briefcase to the elevator. His secretary greeted him at her cubicle outside his door. He didn't answer. He didn't yet know whether it was or wasn't a good morning. He just held out his hand for his message slips. There were 8 of them. 3 were trivial inter-office issues. 4 were legitimate legal matters. The last was a request for a client conference at the prison on an urgent matter relating to case number 517713 at noon.